The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Hello, Jewel. How are you today, kiddo?
Hey, Laura. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We had, once again, a busy week, but I have to tell you, we always talk about the weather. It's a lovely day today. It's a little cool, but lovely. The sun is out. The clouds are somewhat out. And it's big fluffies, and it's a nice day, and so we've got to be grateful. So happy to have the sun and the warmer weather. And I tell you, Joel, I got up at Rosie was a boldie today, and she was barking. She barked early today, early. I don't know what was going on. But at 5:30, I went downstairs to get them, and I thought, I let them out. And it was so bright out because now the back of my house faces the east. The front faces the west. So, of course, we all know the sun rises in the east. And so it was so bright out in the back, which I love, that at 5:30 in the morning, I love that it gets light so early. Love it. I mean, I'm not usually up at 5:30, but I know that it's light. Lighter earlier, but man, it was nice to see that brightness at the back side of my house when I walked out this morning. So good weather, happy things are moving along. But so anyway, Joel, we talked about a lot of things the last couple weeks and had people on discussing this event and that event. And so I went to a few of these events that we've had our friends on to discuss, but on last Thursday night, I went to, with my son Tommy and Meyer, we met Meyer's brother Joe Moskowitz, and it was his birthday. So if you see Joe, give him a happy belated. It was his birthday last Tuesday. So Thursday night, we took him out to Russell's, and we had a delicious dinner at Russell's. Tommy, Meyer, Joe, and I, and we sat in a little nook right off the bar, which I love. It's my favorite spot. And, of course, we have Miss Kelly Sweeney bartending, and she's so such a doll. I love her. And Russell always comes out. I love that. His dad used to do that, too, comes out and says hello and how was everything. And everything was wonderful. I had a beautiful piece of salmon, Joel. I don't know if you like salmon. I don't usually get that there, but I did. But, man, it was delicious. So, anyway, that was a nice night. And then Friday was the Wright Center's golf tournament at Glen Oak, and Randy Williams and I went up for the dinner part, and it was very, very nicely. They sold out. It was a nice attendance. It's always nice at the country club, so we were there, and we had a lot of good fun. As a matter of fact, Randy and Kara Seitzinger and I were the last three to walk out of the joint. Just because we were sitting talking with Dr. Thomas, and then she left, and so the three of us stayed and chatted, and so we were walking out as the last group of people out of that place. And Saturday night, I went out with a few people, Deb Peterson and Evie Rafalco McNulty and her lovely sister-in-law, Peggy McNulty. She's a doll. And Tommy and Meyer and I, we went to one of my faves lately is Cafe Classico. They have fabulous, if you're an arrabbiata fan, go get spaghetti with or rigs or whatever you like with arrabbiata sauce. It's got a little kick. They serve it with a pepper on top. It's really nicely presented. So we went out there after we went to 4 o'clock mass at ICC, and then we headed over there for an early dinner. And Sunday, we went to Braces, Julie, to get some more apples. We take a ride down periodically to get my favorite Evercrisp apples at Braces in Dallas. So we checked. Pretty soon, we'll be able to get things right at Farmer's Market because they participate in our local market every year. And pretty soon, Julie, before you know it, that'll be happening again. And what else did I do? Tuesday, we went to Sushi Thai, Meyer and Doug Smith and I, and we had a great, that's great. If you like sushi, go see. They have a nice hibachi, but I love their sushi. And then last night, Julie, we went to Maureen McGuigan's a tribute that the Philharmonic had for Maureen. And I'll tell you, it was a lovely night. It was at that manor on Main, which was the Genetti's, the old Genetti's. And they really, they supposedly they took the chandeliers down, had them taken down and re-cleaned, or cleaned, I should say. They put a whole patio, a brick patio off of the one small, when you walk in to the right of the building, and there's a like a fireplace out there and stuff. It's very, very nice. It's all fenced in, and they did a really nice job with that. So for an outside event, and I did not have dinner, but everybody who did said that it was actually pretty good. So that's a good thing, because you just never know with mass production of anything. So yeah, so hats off to those guys who bought that and are trying to make the best of it. I know we talked about the Lackawanna Blind Association had their event back at the end of April. I didn't get to go because it was a Broadway show that night, so I couldn't make it. But it really, they did a nice job. So just a big shout out to them. They're trying, so that's a good thing, because people have to use it, so they see what's going on there. And it was nice. So that was my week, Julie, wrapped up with lots of stuff. And it was all good. So, again, I'm a big fan. As you know, Jewel, get out and support your local restaurants and all your local people. Shop local and do what you can do. I know there's a sprinkling of everything else we throw in there, but if you can think about it, go and support your neighbors. It's a good thing. And these people are great. These restaurants, and they're not chain restaurants. They're local, home, you know, owned, sometimes family run for years and years and years, like Russell's. And it's just important to do what you can for them. So I'm a big fan of going out. I just love to do it. So it's all good. I won't be out as much in the summer, Julie, because as you know, Tommy is a phenomenal chef, cook, and a home cook, and he does a great job. So he does a lot of cooking in the summer. It's always nice to be out in the back, and I tend to do that more in the summer. But while we can, we go, and it's always good. Have you been out and about anywhere, or what's your story this week?
So, you know, it's funny. I don't go out to eat too often. It's usually just if I have, like, a business lunch. But I think a lot of that is because I like to cook, and we all cook. So it's like for you in the summertime with Tommy, we're like that all year. So I really don't get out as much as,
yes,
I guess, as much as I would like to sometimes. But no, I'm doing a lot of spring DIY projects on the home front, and a lot of cleaning,
yep,
and purging and getting ready for some renovations. That's the mode I'm in right now, and it's good. Now, and I have to tell you, yesterday, I want to tell you how this resolves, because I did talk to you yesterday, and I think when we spoke, I had just discovered that my car had been sprayed by a skunk, and I didn't realize it until after I was,
yep,
out. I know.
Yep.
This is the second time this has happened to me, because if you recall, I think it was 2 years ago,
oh,
I told the story about how I was on my way to a meeting, and I was on the phone with my friend who was going to be at this meeting, and I said, you know, I smell skunk so bad. And I'm like, I know I didn't hit a skunk, because I would notice that, and I figured it was just in the yard, but why am I smelling it like 15 minutes into my ride still? And, you know, so we talked about that a little bit, and then as I got closer to my destination, I said, can you please come out and, like, make sure that I don't smell like skunk, because I was worried about it at that point. It was like permeating everything. And God bless Katie. She came out and, you know, sniffed me in the parking lot, sniffed my head, sniffed my coat. Like, I'm sure people were like, what are these two doing? That's a good friend who will sniff you to see if you stink.
That is a good friend.
And
that's it, baby.
You know, what was that?
I said, that's it, baby. That's a friend. Oh,
yeah,
indeed.
Yeah.
That's a friend.
That's a good friend. So, I got through that. Yeah. And the answer to that is, like, she didn't detect anything. But when I got home, I had a trench coat. It must have been raining that day, too. When I got home and I took my trench coat off, Moo came over, sniffed the coat, and made the most horrendous face. And he kind of snarled. He looked at me like, Mom, you stink. And sure enough, it was on my coat. So anyway, it was on the door. I opened the door and it got on my coat. And the same thing happened to me yesterday. So I don't know what is up with these skunks. Yeah. And my car, they must be, it must be where I'm parking, but I don't know where else to go because I am parking in my driveway where I'm supposed to be. So I'm going to have to figure out, like, is there something that repels them nicely? I don't want to hurt them. I just don't want them stinking up my car. This morning I came out and it was okay. But what I did to resolve this yesterday, and you're going to laugh at this. I came back, I had groceries, and I'm like, how am I going to deal with all this without getting skunk spray on me? So I ran in and I got Dawn Power Wash. And I, like, sprayed the whole side of my car. And
I think it
worked. Because today I got up, and the first thing I did after I took care of Moo was I ran outside to sniff my car, like you do. And it was fine. So, Dawn Power
Well, maybe the Dawn. Yeah, but maybe it kept them away. Maybe they didn't like the smell. But I'll tell you, I think Dawn is a miracle for anything you use it for. So,
I agree.
Well, who knows? Maybe it keeps skunks away. Who knows?
I hope.
But that's funny, Julie.
I know. I'm like, who does this happen to?
That's pretty funny.
It's terrible.
I know. That's funny. Julie, you know what the thing is? You're so sweet about animals, you know, that you just accept that that's what they do, even though you don't want them to. And it's true. Who does? Because that is the worst smell, horrible, horrible smell. But I told you that the other day there's these skunks that live under either Meyer's porch or the neighbor's porch, but he has issues with skunks every year, like he sees them. And last week, he was walking from the back into the front of his house, and he came face to face with the skunk.
Oh, yeah.
And the skunk turned around and ran. He did not try to, like, do anything. He just ran in the other direction. But, you know, that's pretty scary because, you know,
I think they only got to react quickly. They're going to hurt them. I think if you're aggressive towards them, that's when they do it. But I think if you just, you know, kind of freeze a little bit and chill out, I don't think they're going to spray you. I think they only do it as a self-defense. Yeah.
They do like garbage, but make sure
your garbage is tied up nicely.
Oh, I know that. I know that. They're bold, very bold. But
I think they're cute.
Well, I'm glad
though.
You got it resolved. They are cute.
Me too.
They are. One time we were catching something in my backyard. There was something back there, so we were taking it to, you know, somewhere else. Guess what was in there? A skunk. And they told us that Meyer was, how are we going to get, and but it turns out that skunks can only spray when their tail goes all the way up. So in a cage, that like a trap, it won't go up all the way because they're limited to how far their tail goes up. So they're not allowed, they won't be able to spray you, is what we were told.
Okay.
So that makes
sense. Well,
this
is good to know.
Yeah. So anyway, we called the Dunmore people and they came and took the guy away. But yeah, they weren't leery of it. And they're the ones who told me. We're not, that's fine because they can't spray when their tail can't go up. So it worked out. But anyway, so that's a lesson on skunk spraying and Dawn Power Wash. Get it for everything. It's a commercial on that. All right, Joel. We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. You're listening to the Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises. which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is the lovely Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. Jewel, what can you do for them?
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, just visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
So we want to say, too, we want to wish everybody a very happy, happy Mother's Day, any and all. It's a special weekend. I was telling my son the other day, you know, Sean, Mother's Day is a big deal, and it's a special day, and you should always treat your mother beautifully all the time. But on Mother's Day, it's a very important thing. Mothers are so wonderful, and you know, everything about what we do, from carrying a baby 9 months and going through everything we do, body changes and all the stuff that goes along with it. And then we forever wear our heart outside of our body when it comes to our children. So that never changes. And so it's so important to honor your mom and to just, I love hearing stories, and especially about boys and their mothers, because girls and their mothers, they can have, you know, little sparring through their years, but they're it's an automatic kind of thing. But boys and their mothers, it's a different story. It's a wonderful connection, but I love when I hear all these great stories of boys and how they treat their moms, and it's just wonderful, because how a son treats his mother is how he's going to treat his wife, and I think that's so important. But so we're going to Beacon to spend a little time. And with both my one boy, Tommy's coming with us, and we're going to meet Sean. And we're just going to have hopefully a great day, and I'm looking forward to being with them. But it made me think, Julie, you and I as women and daughters of our mothers, you're fortunate enough to have your mom still with you, and I am not. My mom was 80 years old, 81 almost, she just turned 81, I think. She did, 81. And way too young as far as I'm concerned, considering my Nana, her mom, lived till she was 92. But I just was thinking, might be kind of a neat thing to talk about some of the similarities that we have, because as they say, we turn into our mothers, Jewel, you know that old line. And, of course, Meyer thinks I look more and more like my mother. Of course, I don't. I think I look like my dad, but I can understand what he sees because clearly she's my mom, so you're going to see that. But
right.
I was thinking we could talk a little bit about similarities, the good things, the good habits, the good traits or whatever they are that our moms have and how we were raised or how we go about living our lives based on our moms and similar ways. So we know that, and we've talked about this so often about your mom and your ability to cook, Jewel, or to bake, and all of your family. So other than baking, what other things do you think you're a lot like your mom in?
Oh, wow. I think that I get my love for reading from my mom and writing also, because when you think about it, our parents are really our first teachers before we hit the classroom, right? And we always had a lot of books in the house. Like, both of my parents were avid readers, but I do remember my mom teaching me how to also write. I knew how to write very early on, and it was something I was interested in, and so eventually that became part of my career. So definitely a love of books and literature and writing, and we like to sit, and we still do this. We read cookbooks. We sit down and read them. We don't always have to be cooking or baking. Like, we like to read recipes and talk about whether or not we think they're going to work, and how we're going to modify them maybe. And, you know, that's just, it's just a funny thing that we do. I think we collect them too. I think the love of animals that I have comes from my mom. I think my mother has a fabulous sense of humor. I hope that I have some of that too. I like to think I have a good sense of humor. It might be a little different than hers.
Yes,
but
you know.
We like to be silly. Yeah, I mean, I can be serious, but I have my funny moments, right? And
yes,
I think you have to laugh
very.
At yourself. Yeah. You have to laugh at yourself from time to time. So I think all of those
absolutely.
Things, you know, all of the women in our family taught us how to do things. Like, we have a lot of life skills. I was thinking about this the other day because we all know how to cook. We all know how to properly shop for food. We all know how to, you know, basic sewing skills. You know, if I need to sew on a button, I can. And I know that sounds like simple and silly, but these are little things that sometimes if you don't have somebody show you how to do it, you don't know, right?
Exactly.
So we were so lucky to have lots of, you know, family members around us that taught us how to make things, how to fix things, how to buy things, you know, when to buy things and when not to buy things, that, you know, that the money management side of it. All of that. So, and I think Mother's Day, you know, you can really acknowledge, in addition to your mother, grandmothers, aunts, any woman in your life who's a mentor and special to you. That everybody has a different situation. So, but I think when I think back too, I mean, I had my Aunt Mary lived with us for a long time. She was like another grandma. And
yep,
we always acknowledged her on Mother's Day. My Aunt Deb, I was always very close to. So, you know, yeah, it's a nice day, and I think we like to make a nice dinner, make whatever Mom wants for dessert, we'll have. Usually she asks for cheesecake, but I don't know if that's what she wants this year. She might mix it up, she told me. So I have to be ready for that. I know. I said, I hope it's something I can do. It is. If it'll either be that or she loves vanilla cake with vanilla icing.
Me too.
She would like to. You're
me
vanilla.
Too.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
a vanilla girl.
She won't ask
girl.
For anything
yep.
exotic. But yeah, how about you?
Okay.
How did your mom influence your life?
Well, I think my mother, you know, I get my mother's sense of style and my mother's ability to communicate with people. My mother had a lot of friends and was always just, you know, nice and kind and considerate of people. I definitely did not get her patience. My mother was a lot more patient in general than I am. I have my father's impatience. But my mother's ability to decorate and keep a beautiful home and want and jewelry. My mother loved jewelry, and I used to say, "Mom, what are you going to do with all that jewelry?" And now I've turned into my mother. I say that all the time. but I just love jewels anyway. I love it, so it doesn't matter. And what's it hurting anyone? You know, that's what I've recently said. But she liked to have people around. She liked to entertain. She liked to be close to her family, and she had a lot of friends. And friends were important to my mother. And those kind of things are the same thing. Whereas my father was more, you know, with his own family. He had friends, of course, but he didn't go out with friends. Like, my mom would go out and have lunch or dinner, and she kept that right up through when she could no longer. And I tend to do all that too. But I think just her, you know, her, she would like things to be nice all the time, Jewel. You know, my mother was
yeah.
much more, I'm more realistic in the sense of what my life is like than maybe my mother was. But I, because I wear my life on my sleeve, so to speak. But she, just everything about her. I remember I said, a friend of mine said, this was right before my mom passed, and I was with her and we were talking, and I said, "Mom, so-and-so said that I'm demanding." She said, why? Why would he say you're demanding? I said, I don't know. I don't consider myself to be demanding, maybe commanding, but demanding, I don't think that's a good word. And she goes, why? Why? Because you know what you want, and you want it, and you speak your mind about it, and you want things the way you want them. That means you're demanding. Then let him think you're demanding. You're not demanding. But if that's what he thinks it is, then the heck with him. You let him think it. You just know what you want, and that's perfectly fine. And my mother, that's what my mother was like. She would say flat out, like, you know, when we go through a drive-thru, and if I say I want an iced tea with a lot of ice and I get to pick up the iced tea and there's no ice, I say, excuse me, can I have a cup of ice? Because I asked for more ice, honey, so I really would like more ice. Whereas some people just accept what they go and they leave. And then I get told, well, you know, just accept, no, I asked for that. I'm paying for that. So I'd like to have what I asked for. And so that sort of stuff. My mother was the same way. I'm always polite about it, but don't just accept. It's not, I don't like, and neither did my mother. Good enough was not anything in my mother's vocabulary. It just wasn't. Good enough, it's good enough. My mother would, I don't think she ever said that. And she didn't expect that from us. She expected it to be the best it can be from us. And although it could have been, that's a little rough, it wasn't. It was what, because, you know, it's just, my mother this is the other thing. My mother saw what we could do, and then she expected us to do it. And that's sort of how I look at people, how I've raised my children. When you show me what you can do, I expect. And that's a hard thing, Julie, because sometimes you can get disappointed when somebody doesn't do what you think they can do. You know what I mean? In general.
Yeah.
So, but that's sort of what my mother did, and I find myself kind of I do the same thing. Once somebody shows me, I expect them to kind of be at that. And that could be a medium. It could be high achieving. It could be mid. It could be low. So I guess if the higher ones don't, then you get disappointed. And if the lower achievers over, you're like, wow, and you're thrilled. I don't know, but they were definitely things that my mother looked at, and it's just how we were raised. And I guess I just do the same thing. But I see myself in, and my grandmother, my Nana Cadden, was very, very independent, raising 7 children after my grandfather died at the age of 49, and 7 children from the ages of 11 to 6 months. And having to run his business and raise 7 children. And she was very independent. One thing I do say about we Cadden girls, there were 7 of us in the Caddens of first cousins, and I say we are very independent people, and that is a good thing. And that's from my Nana Cadden. So it's always good. And then, of course, my Nana Lee was funny, and my grandmother, my mother's mother, had a fabulous sense of humor. And I have a pretty, my father did too, but my grandmother was, she and a lot of her siblings were very quick-witted and great sense of humor. So, yeah, Julie, I think that's so important. So I attribute that too. So I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all of those mothers and anyone who acts like a mother and supports children in any way, aunts, cousins, brothers, sisters, anybody who treats anyone with respect and in a motherly way, hats off. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to my mom, Ann Cadden, RN, in heaven, my Nana, Le Boutier, and my Nana Cadden, and all my aunts and people who I loved and admired and friends who were very motherly. I thank them, and I wish everybody a good day. And Jewel, your time to send your love.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to my mom.
Make sure she listens, Jewel.
She listens.
Okay, there you go. All right, well, tell your mom
heaven,
I said
right?
Happy Mother's Day. That's right, all in heaven. So tell your mom I said have a wonderful day, and everybody else, we'll be right back. We have one more segment with Miss Leah Giannakopoulos, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden. the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is Julie D. Immel. Julie is the producer of this fine show, and Julie is the owner of Julie D. Immel Communications. Jewel, what can you do?
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more, visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
Thanks, Julie. And with us is the lovely Leah Genacopoulos. Leah is a real estate agent with ERA One Source Realty in Clark Summit. There's about 80-some agents in 5 offices in 10 counties, and Leah is doing great as usual. And we appreciate you being on with us, kiddo, today. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm good. I'm hoping that our weather gets a little better, but other than that, I can't complain.
I know. I'm sitting here, Leah, even in my yard, and I'm looking at the trees. No, I'm not. No, not today, but I am, but that wasn't it. But I'm looking at my maple tree, my oak trees, and they're just starting to get, like, the little tiny leaves on them, which scares me every year because it's an old tree, but they're getting there. Anyway, so Leah, what's going on in the world? I want to give a big shout out because I just told you I took one of my continuing ed courses this past Tuesday at Pennsylvania Real Estate Academy, owned by Larry Delgrado, who is a wonderful guy. And I'm just going to put this out there. If anyone needs continuing ed, he added 2 more classes, the 19th and the 26th of May, because, of course, we have to have everything in by the 31st of May to renew. And if you've never taken one of Larry's classes, do yourself a favor and do so. It's in Wilkes-Barre, his office right off of River. And he's a great guy, and even if you, whenever you need them, look to do it because I think he's terrific. So I love his class. I've been taking it for years and years and years. And you know who told me about Larry initially, Leah, was Ann Shiroda.
Oh, we love our Ann.
Yes, I know, and she loves Larry, and I do too. He's a great guy. So anyway, that's my commercial for the day. So Leah, what's happening in our world of real estate?
Well, I mean, not anything crazy. It's been, I guess we could say, at an even keel, besides certain markets per usual that, you know, are still experiencing bidding wars, the low inventory. So a lot of people have been calling and saying, like, well, how did we win a bidding war? What do I do? This, that, and the other thing. And I mean, the first step is making sure you're pre-approved. I just cannot stress that enough. You need to walk into a house being able to know where you're going to be at financially, but also you need your pre-approval. Not having a pre-approval only puts you back 10 steps. And then what do you do if you walk into this house, you love this house, and then you're not approved, and then you got to find a lender, and you got to do all the things. And so I cannot stress enough, the biggest thing to winning a bidding war, the number one step, is getting a pre-approval.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know,
do
that,
people
that
actually,
is huge.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me there in this day and age there are still people who don't do that?
Well, I won't work with them. But I cannot stress enough that there are people like that, you know, I oversee and help them there. They're like, well, we just want to look at the house first. Well, we're not window shopping.
Oh, my God.
So, and I think people just have to understand because, you know, I always joke, and I have to say this actually happened, but these people were pre-approved. But I always joke because, you know, people are always like, is it normal if you like the house, the first house you see? And I said, it all depends. Does it check all the boxes? Is it the boxes that aren't checked aren't the ones that are making a big deal to you? Or sometimes maybe it's the house you loved as a little girl. Well, a couple weekends ago, just a great story out there, my one client has been looking on and off for the last 3 years, and the house that she's always loved as a 20-some-year-old came onto the market for the first time, and we wrote an offer, competitive, 3 other offers in, and we won it, but we were ready. We had our pre-approval. We were good to go. We had a great deposit. We had great inspection contingencies. And we had a great lender besides us that we were able to really make a competitive offer. within reason, where everyone felt comfortable. And, you know, it really got us. And listen, this house was on for a day and gone. That's how quick it went. So I just think that's the first step. And, you know, so a lot of people do ask, like, what is the, what else? This, what, obviously, speak with your realtor. Like, get a game plan together. You know, I always, I tell people when we're walking into a house, you can expect that this house is going to go over, or, you know, what's, where is it on the market? How long has it been on the market? What's going on? Is there any red flags? Does the house have good bones? Does it just need cosmetics? Like, you know, there's certain things that you just get to see that you could see, and then you're like, oh, okay. And then, you know, also, too, I think sometimes being able to have uncomfortable conversations to make them comfortable. Right? Because people stress out sometimes when it comes to money. So I think sometimes being able to show them where they could go up to, as far as like, here's where you're pre-approved to, here's where the house is listed, here's where you could go up to for bidding more, and we can price it out that way. So I think, too, making sure you're having these engaging conversations with your clients or your agent is also very key. So I just think making sure communication is always offered. And I think, too, that, you know, a lot of people, too, get, like, screwed up with the whole, like, cash is king. And that's not necessarily true. A finance offer is also very good, especially if it's a strong lender. It's covering appraisal gaps. You have fast timelines. You have a clean loan. There's clean contingencies. So a finance offer can also very much beat a cash offer. So I think, too, some people get, like, a little frozen when they hear, oh, no, there's an offer in, and then, you know, maybe the lender will be, or the realtor will say, we have a cash offer in already. That does not mean anything. How do you know that they didn't just give ask? How do you know they didn't give a couple bucks below because they're cash? So I always say a financed offer could still be a strong offer. So I think that's also something, too, to make sure you're conversing with people and understanding that, again, talking to your lender, talking to your realtor, having a game plan. You know, and timing matters. Find out what is the why. Why is the seller moving? Do they need more time and, you know, like, are a little stressed to ask for it? Like, make it open to why, you know, hey, we're flexible with closing. We could give you even more time. So I also think making sure you're understanding why the seller is moving is also very important, too. So I think sometimes combining a good offer with, you know, obviously a strong price, less stress, getting it executed. And you know, I have to tell you, that was the other thing that the realtor did tell me when we won our bid. He's like, you know, my people appreciated that you saw the house and then went back, thought about it, and wrote the offer and got it to us. Like, you didn't make us wait. You weren't like, oh, we'll think about it, oh, this, that, and the other thing. And obviously, too, sometimes the buyer, you know, gets hyped up on emotion and then they change their mind. But he did tell me, he's like, I will tell you, it was also very nice how quickly you communicated and, you know, executed the contract. And so I think, too, making sure you are establishing a relationship with the other realtor is also key as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, Leah, do people say in a bidding war these days, like, to give everybody a shot? Is it still that standard line of, you know, I'm going to, listen, there's a bunch of you, give me your best and final offer so that you're not going back and forth? Or is it still that back and forth stuff that goes on? Or is it pretty much cut and dry because there's too many bids in?
Well, so that depends, obviously, on the scenario and the situation. So when you have a situation where, you know, maybe it's on for a couple of days and they didn't get an offer right off the bat, you know, then you have an offer that comes in. And I guess depending on what the offer is, it would, you know, you would see what the back and forth is. Also, if there's a bidding war at that point, there's no back and forth. Usually what they'll do is they'll start calling for highest and best at a certain point, allowing, you know, showing through. And again, this is all based off of what the seller wants. So, you know, that's something else too. Well, sometimes, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I didn't necessarily mean a bidding war. What I meant was when there's a lot of bids in the sense that they didn't even really, you know how you can go back and forth and everyone's looking at every one, and then you say, okay, look it, all of these are good. I don't know which one to take, but I want them to come up. So that's how I meant it. Ahead of the actual war, do they do that? Because that happened a lot to me in my career of this kind of thing, including some one or two listings that I had where every single agent that walked in the door for the one weekend presented a bid, and I was thrilled with it. But nonetheless, that's what I had to do to all of them because I didn't know we were trying to give them the best price. And it's the back and forth. I mean, I love a negotiation, a good one, but sometimes that just gets in the way too. Like, just be cut and dry about it and don't play games, I guess is what you're saying. Playing games is not the way you go about this.
Right. So, yeah, you don't want to play games because then sometimes I think that's putting a bad taste in the seller's mouth. And, again, it also depends on how much you like the house. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know, I had someone the other day that they liked the house. It checked all the boxes. It needed stuff. So it's been on the market quite some time, and they're like, could we throw our foot in the ring and see what happens? Of course you could. Like, obviously, and I always say, what's the worst they're going to say? No. That's it. You know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, I always think you should try for your client. I think that's the most important. Now, if it's not within reason, then that has to be a conversation of, like, why are we doing this? You know, and I actually had a seller who was getting a little frustrated during the winter. They were getting upset. You know, we had a crappy winter, so clients were, like, no one was really as active as, I mean, we had a snowstorm, I think, every other day. But he's like, well, I just want a lowball offer at this point. I said, and what good is that going to do you? And he's like, yeah, you're right. I said, do you want them to think that that's what the house is worth? And he's like, I never thought about it like that. I said, I would rather no offers than an offer that you're never entertaining. He's like, yeah, that's true. I said, because then you're going to get your hopes up, and then it's going to be an offer you don't want.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's simply because he just wanted some movement. But like you said, we talked throughout this whole winter. Things were really slow in the sense of people getting out to see because, like you just said, the winter was wicked. And that's just, people get frustrated. Like, you know, what's going on? What's wrong with my house? And then things pick up, and they have been. Leah, you have a new listing that you just put on. How are you doing with that? You want to talk about that one?
I do. I want to encourage everyone, if they're looking, especially in Scranton, that you should definitely come and look at it. It's in East Mountain. It's on Penny Brin, and I truly adore this home. I think if walls could talk, I would love to hear and see all the entertaining that went on. I think, Laura, you can agree to that as well. But, I mean, the house is magnificent. It was designed by the one and only Vincent, and decorated by him. So everyone knows if you had a designed house by Vincent, that was the house to be at. So I've taken a lot of pride in listing this house, and I love it. It's a unique home, and I just truly do love East Mountain as well. So I think that it just has a great story to tell, and I hope someone buys it and finishes the story.
Yeah, it's great, and that location is gorgeous too. So, you know, that it's just so beautiful. I love it. So Leah, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to see that or anything else, or anything else you can show them.
That's right. You can call me at 570-947-9250, or you could call any of our agents at our office at 570-587-9999. Our website, ERA1.com. So that's ERA1.com. I am on all forms of social media, and we are located all over.
I know. Lots of places in main office and right in Clark Summit. As soon as you turn to go through the bend there, the notch, I guess it's called, it's not far up the road. So you'll see them there. And Leah, I appreciate you taking the time today, and so does everyone else listening. And we thank you for listening. Have a good weekend, everybody. Be safe, and please be nice. Bye.